So the scripture reading is Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. A green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump, from his root a budding branch. The life-giving spirit of God will hover over him, the spirit that brings wisdom and understanding, the spirit that gives direction and builds strength, the spirit that instills knowledge and fear of God. Fear of God will be all his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearance, won't decide the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning, he'll pull on his sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. Adam, can you please come and give him a message?
All right, thank you, Ramsey. Keith wasn't kidding that the pulpit is covered with glitter up here. Somebody submitted their application to Beaver Camp to be a wilderness trip leader, and they filled the envelope with glitter. We still hired them. Well, as was posed earlier, a question that we have during this time of Advent, and specifically for today, is what are you waiting for? And we're asking that to God. God, what are you waiting for? When we ask someone what they are waiting for, excuse me, it usually means that we have made up our mind, or perhaps that we already have taken our action and are looking to someone else to make their move. Or maybe it is something that only the other person can do. And in that case of asking God, what are you waiting for, we are asking him to do something that only he can do. We are anticipating the coming of Jesus, God incarnate. We are ready for it, but only God can do anything about it. We anticipate, long for, hope that God will move and bring the new life that is promised in Jesus. Advent is a time of expectant waiting for Jesus. Of course, we know that at what we celebrate, we know that as what we celebrate as Christmas, that Jesus did come. And we are waiting for something that we know happens. So there is a here but not yet aspect to this season of Advent. The incarnation has happened, yet we still wait and prepare for it. This is very similar to the already but not yet kingdom of God. We sometimes use that phrase already but not yet to describe the kingdom of God. We say that Jesus has established the kingdom of God, the ideal way of living in relationship with God and with others, yet it is not yet fully realized. And it won't be fully realized until Jesus returns and sets it in place once and for all. So some people look at the already but not yet aspect of the kingdom of God and focus more on the not yet side. And they say that since the kingdom of God cannot be fully realized here now, that we shouldn't try to live as the kingdom of God. So the teachings of Jesus become markers for what is to come and not for what is now. They are something for the future, but not for how I would live my life right here and now. However, the Mennonite perspective and others focuses more on the already side of the already but not yet. Jesus came and he enacted the kingdom of God. He taught and showed us how to live in the kingdom, and that is something that can be done here and now. There's no waiting for a time to come only, but we attempt to live in the way of the kingdom of God here and now as much as we are able. As we celebrate Christmas and the coming of Jesus, God among us, we celebrate both sides of this as well. We celebrate that Jesus did come to earth and that he did change the world. And so that changes the way that we see things and the way that we live our lives. Jesus has given new life so that we all can have a right relationship with God, that we can experience love and wholeness in our lives. And we also celebrate that Jesus will come again, and he will change things even more drastically and completely, transforming the current world into the fullness of the kingdom of God in a more complete relationship with him. The prophet Isaiah foretells the coming of Jesus. This was written before Jesus was born, which is obvious, but I think we need to remember that as we're reading these words. We read it now knowing the full story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death. The people who first heard Isaiah's words did not have that advantage. The promise and hope that is present in this text was huge for the people of Israel. Because we celebrate Christmas each year and because of all that comes at us at Christmas time, perhaps we miss the impact foretold in a passage like this. Now, there are all sorts of images that we have at Christmas time. First off is the image of baby Jesus in a manger, right? We need to put that first, even if maybe that's not the first image that comes to your mind when you think of Christmas. There's Mary and Joseph and the donkey, the shepherds with their sheep, the wise men with their camels, the angels with their wings, I guess. I think the angel does have a dove in this one, doesn't it? It's interesting how if we look at each of those characters, there's an animal usually that we think of that goes with them. It's an important image to have of Christmas, as this is the Christmas story. However, I'm sure that we all have other images that we associate with Christmas as well. This is the first image that came up when I did a Google image search just for Christmas. A decorated tree with lights has become a common image of Christmas time. Now, some of the images that we might have in our heads as we think about Christmas might have more to do with family traditions, either past or present. At one time, an image of Christmas for me would have been that of my extended family at a huge table with the kids at one end and the adults at the other and piles of food on the table. Some you ate right away, some just stayed there until the end of the meal and then you ate them, with my grandmother presiding over all of it. There are probably other images of food that we would have as well. You can fill in what you think of there. Or there's decorations like Christmas trees and candles in the windows, wreaths, snowmen, so on. Some of our images might come from movies or TV specials. There's plenty of them around Christmas time. So maybe it's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree that comes to mind. Or maybe it's the Griswold's house lit up with 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights. Maybe it is Norman Rockwell, or maybe it's Thomas Kincaid. Maybe it's Elvis singing Blue Christmas, or I suppose it could be Mariah Carey singing All I Want for Christmas Is You, which I prefer when Jimmy Fallon and the Roots join in with her. There are all sorts of images that can come to mind at Christmas time, and I'd like to propose that we adopt some new images of Christmas as well. Images that come from Isaiah, from the passage that we read this morning. And I'm not trying to say that any of these other images that were shown here or that might be running through our heads are wrong or that they're bad, but they just don't give the full picture of what Jesus coming to earth fully means. This passage from Isaiah shows how God's appointed leader, which is Jesus, will lead in the kingdom of God and what that kingdom will look like. So if we back up just a little bit first, back up into chapter 10, the images at the start of chapter 11 have a little bit more of an effect. So at the end of Isaiah chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, we read, "Look, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will hack down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall." So chapter 10 ends with the image of a forest completely cut down. Everything is hacked off, everything is brought down. There is nothing living left, or so it looks, until we are told that God will raise up a shoot from the stump of Jesse. He will bring new life even in the midst of devastation. And so this is the first of the new images that I would propose for Christmas. Jesus was not just a baby in a manger, but a shoot from the tribe of Jesse. It is pretty amazing to me how a tree can grow out of an old stump like this. And that stump actually looks kind of old. It wasn't just cut down yesterday. We had a tree that we cut down in our backyard, and it just, new growth came up all around the thing. It's amazing how that can happen, even out of something that appears to be dead, that there is still life present. And God is choosing to bring new life to his people through Jesus. Even though his people seem to have been cut off and dead, he's bringing new life. The stump or heir of Jesse refers to King David, who was the son, the life of Jesse. However, God's new leader is not David, but rather in the line of David. So there is a difference there. A plant growing out of an old stump is a new plant. It will not be just like the tree that was cut down. And so the new leader as well is not actually David, but will be a new person in the line of David. He is full of new life and full of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit provides him wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. We begin to get a taste of what the kingdom of God will be like because we see how the leader of this kingdom will rule. It is not just with his eyes and ears, but with a sense of justice and equity that is rooted in the fear of the Lord. According to Ivan D. Friesen, the fear of the Lord means the opposite of hearsay and appearances. The heir of Jesse sees and hears the issues of everyday life out of a centeredness in the Lord's purposes. And Ramsey, the translation that you read this morning, I think picked up on that pretty well with the way that those few verses were translated. And so he enacts justice and equity because he is centered in God. He is not influenced by what bubbles up here and there, but remains planted in the Spirit of the Lord. His mouth and his words will strike down the wicked in the land. There is no mention of an army to do this, but it is the truth that he speaks that will cut down the wicked. Righteousness is around his waist and faithfulness around his loins. I don't have a picture for that image, but he is clothed in righteousness. It is tied right around him. Righteousness does not just show that he is good and does right things. Righteousness means that he is connected to the way of God, to what is right. It is not about actions alone, but about being. And faithfulness as a belt around the loins. I think we can make the connection that we often talk about someone being faithful, as in their marriage, or being sexually faithful to another. And really this means that a person is committed to their spouse and sharing that most intimate part of them with their spouse alone. And so the heir of Jesse fastens his loins with faithfulness. This can represent his most intimate part, most intimate being, given to God alone and remaining faithful to God alone. There's some of that sexual stuff in Scripture. That's okay. It's there. We can examine that. There's an intimacy there that I think when those types of things are brought in can take us to that sort of a deeper intimacy, I suppose. Verse 6 now shifts to images of the kingdom and not just how the kingdom will be ruled, but this is where we get a lot of imagery now. These are images involving animals, and again, it's interesting that the Christmas story involves animals too. The kingdom of God is earthy. There are animals and people living and moving around the land together. There are predators and prey existing together without need to harm one another. One is not over the other. There is peace. And there is safety. So images that we see here, the wolf shall live with the lamb. Now David killed wolves that would come after his sheep when he was a shepherd. I learned that last night at the live nativity at Maple Ridge Center. One of the acts there talked about, the shepherds were talking about David. But that was the old way. That was the way of the first heir of Jesse. The new heir of Jesse brings about an order in which the sheep do not need to be defended because the wolves will not hunt down and they will not kill. All will live together and all will be safe. In the same way, the leopard will lie with the kid. This is a similar metaphor, just using some different images there. The calf and the lion and the fatling together and a little child shall lead them. A fatling is an animal that has been fattened up and prepared to be slaughtered. It is called a fatling then it's, if it's called a fatling, then its identity has been established as something intended to be killed and eaten. Yet here, the fatling is not slaughtered, but it is given a place amongst the living. And not only is the child leading without a fear from the lion, but without fear of harm from the calf or from the fatling, which could also trample a young child. So all three are living together and in submission to the little child, a metaphor for Jesus here. The cow and the bear shall graze. Not only are they living side by side, but they are eating the same food. They are able to fellowship together. Their young as well are together with no fear of harm. The lion will also eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. Okay, you ready for it? This is kind of a freaky one. A nursing child does not have much fear. They haven't really learned yet everything that is safe or not. There's an innocence that babies have. This innocence is upheld in the kingdom of God, and that the baby is likely not afraid of a snake to begin with. In the kingdom of God, that innocence does not need to go away. It is a safe place. And the same is true for the weaned child, a little bit older child. There is no part of the kingdom of God that is unsafe. They will not hurt or destroy anywhere in the kingdom of God, because all will have the knowledge of the Lord. In the kingdom, we will know God. All of what is done and known is covered by God. Just as water flows where it will and spreads out to cover an area, so will God's presence and knowledge and love be spread throughout his kingdom by the heir of Jesse, who has been given the Spirit of the Lord to lead the people to the Lord. And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. That is the Christmas story. God coming to earth in the person of Jesus, a new life from the old stump of the people of God, bringing about the beginning of the kingdom of God and new life for all people who see and respond and follow him. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 15, 12 through 13, and again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And here is my word at Christmas time, which maybe could be considered a rant. The world is so close to the kingdom of God at Christmas time. Jesus came into the world bringing hope and joy and peace and love. And these are elements of the kingdom of God that we saw images of here this morning. And the secular celebration of Christmas honors these things and desires these things as good things in and of themselves. Yet as Christians, we can see that these things are present at Christmas, because what we are really celebrating at Christmas is Jesus. These things are closer in the world because Jesus is being celebrated, whether that's on purpose or not. But Christmas is a celebration of Jesus. And I think whether it's secular, whether it's Christian, as we're celebrating these elements of Christmas, we are closer to Jesus. Christmas is a celebration of God in Jesus, coming to the earth to live and to dwell and to be among us. And that changes everything. So may we celebrate Christmas in all of the festive ways that we can. This is a time of celebration. May we embrace the anticipation of the already but not yet in this season of Advent. And in our anticipation and living into the kingdom of God, we have so many images around us at Christmas time, things that we see, things that we picture in our minds. I hope that some of them as well can include images of the kingdom of God, images like we looked at this morning.